Would you please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. We'll be having two portions in our reading this morning. First of all, Isaiah chapter 7, and then Matthew chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 7. We begin our reading at verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And then over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord bless His Word to us this morning. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Blessed Lord, we come in the precious name of our Lord Jesus again today, and we're thankful for being here in Thy house. We are thankful, Lord, for Thy precious Word. We are thankful for the promises and the prophecies given in the Scripture. We come, Lord, today and ask for the illumination of the Holy Spirit upon our minds. Open our hearts to receive Thy truth, we pray. Do not, O God, let anything that is said this morning be misunderstood or misconstrued. But I pray that every person here in our service today would have a clear understanding, not by my words, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God and writing it upon every heart. O God, come and help us today, we pray. Do not allow us to just sit through another service, just going through the motions of church, but rather, O God, that we might meet with the Lord, and that we would be conscious today that Christ is here with us, and that He would take His own precious Word, and that it would be written on our hearts. Lord, hear us, we ask. Bless us this morning, and especially, Lord, I pray for any who are in our gathering who do not know the Lord as their personal Savior, that they would come to rest in Him today. Lord, hear our prayer and bless us now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure how you feel, but it appears that there is a slight backlash to the political correctness of our present society and the desire to make this generic time of year that so many people want to turn it into, to make it something a little different. Many companies still make it quite obvious that in expressing season's greetings, that they intend not to offend anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, or at least anyone who cannot be bothered with this religious stuff that goes around at this time of the year. And yet, walking through stores like Canadian Tire and Walmart, you find people playing songs like "What Child Is This?" and "Holy Night When Christ Was Born." Added to this, a writer in the Mirror called Barnett reflected himself on the true meaning of Christmas, going back to the time of the problem of sin coming into the world, of the need of a Savior, and of presenting who that Savior was. And then in Saturday Sun yesterday, Michael Corn, whose theology would not be agreed with completely, wrote an article on the fact of Jesus, about His birth, and about being a Christian is more than a religious experience. It is having a relationship with the Christ of God. This was the substance of his article. And then you have to be really confronted with the evidence that year after year, Handel's Messiah is presented in great music halls around the world. This masterpiece of musical composition that so glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and only contains words that are directly from the Word of God, and it draws and continues to draw thousands of listeners, most of which who still stand when it comes to the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. I wonder if the angel choirs will one day come to sing that piece of music. I have a feeling that they will one day, because it certainly contains nothing but the Word of God. And so, when you consider these things, Christ is still presented. His name is mentioned. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose name echoes forth through these music halls from this timeless piece of music. And it's strange, isn't it? Because we live today in what is called a post-Christian era. And a country that was founded upon Christian principles seems to have left those moorings and gone away, so that the people in our governments deny the existence of God. Our news media mocks any who would dare to claim that God created the heavens and the earth. Let us all be reminded again at this time of the year. Let us be reminded again of the central theme of salvation. For Christ and His name, Jesus, means salvation. For He shall forgive and deliver His people from their sins. Let our children be told again and again of this great message, For there is a danger of both them and us being caught up in the materialism. Yes, being caught up in the froth of this time of year. Come again, my friend, and let your heart be warmed by the blessed truth that His name shall be called Jesus. For He shall save. For He shall continue to save His people from their sins. I want you to think this morning with me about the name of Jesus. And what is contained in the meaning of that name. And very simply today, I want to take each letter of that name and explain to you what that name really means. The first letter, J, I've taken for the word Jehovah. The name Jesus in the New Testament is the word Joshua in the Old Testament. It is exactly the same word that's translated into the New Testament. It's the word Joshua. And Joshua in Hebrew means Jehovah saved, or Jehovah is salvation. Now when we consider that Jehovah refers to the eternal existence of God, you can put these two meanings together so that you have the eternal one is salvation. J stands for Jehovah, the eternal one is salvation. The name Jehovah is special to God Himself. There are other names used in the Bible, i.e. God and Lord, that can be used for other people or other beings. For example, we have in the Scripture, referring to Satan, he is called the God of this world, with a small g. We also have people who would be called Lord, as for an example, the Lord of an estate or the Lord of a manor. But when it comes to the name Jehovah, there is no other being that takes or uses that name of Jehovah except God Himself. Because of the nature and the meaning of that word, it speaks about the eternal being of God Himself. It is talking about an attribute that qualifies what God really is. He is the eternal one. And therefore, no one else is able to use that, because that attribute of the eternal nature of God belongs only to the Lord Himself. When Christ stood before the Pharisees and He declared these words, "Before Abraham was, I am." The Pharisees lifted up stones to stone the Lord because they knew exactly what He was saying when He spoke those words. And the Lord was taking them back to the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 13. For it says, "Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? And God said unto Moses, Listen, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And so when Jesus Christ stood and He declared, "Before Abraham was, I am," He was declaring to them and linking Himself with the very being of Jehovah. And in so doing that, it is no wonder they accused Christ of blasphemy, because they knew He was declaring, "Not only am I equal with God, I am God," is what He was declaring. But you see, the prophets also gave witness that the Messiah and the Redeemer of Israel was Jehovah, because in Isaiah chapter 6, one before what we read this morning, when Isaiah saw a vision of God glorified in the heavens, he saw a vision of one who was beyond description. And so all Isaiah could say was, "Holy, holy, holy." Is it a coincidence that he said that three times? Is it a coincidence that that was the word he used to describe the vision that he saw? It was beyond his words. He spoke of the holiness of God when he was in the presence of the Lord. And yet when we come into the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, we find that the apostle there regards, or rather refers to, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And this is astounding, because he declares right there and then that these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. John 12, verse 41. These things declared Isaiah when he saw him. Saw who? In the context of John 12, it is speaking of the ministry of Jesus Christ upon earth. And you see, my friend, what John was declaring is that clearly Isaiah saw a vision of Christ. He saw a vision of God, of Jehovah in the heavens. And that vision we have declared to us in the New Testament was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. J stands for Jehovah because Jesus Christ is the manifestation. He is God Himself. The Apostle Paul takes up this argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 is the chapter dealing with the resurrection of Christ from the grave. The teaching here is one of Adam being the first man and Christ being the second man. Adam is the first man because he was a representative figure of all humanity. As in Adam, all died. You see, because when Adam sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden, he was the representative for all humanity. And when Adam sinned, we sinned in him. And it's not enough for you to say it's his fault, because all humanity was in Adam. That means you, and that means me. Each one of us, we were in Adam. And as he sinned, we sinned in him. And we therefore are as guilty and as responsible as Adam. And he is our representative for us. But then we have the second man, and that comes to us, and Paul tells us clearly that is Christ. Christ is the second man. He becomes the second representative. The representative, my friend, of all those who are redeemed by His own precious blood. All those who are saved come under the representation of Christ. Now here's the point. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15 and 47, the first man is of the earth. Adam was made of the dust of the ground. He is of the earth, earthy. But the second man is, note this, the Lord from heaven. Christ is the Lord Jehovah who has come down from heaven and revealed Himself to you and me. This is the Jesus whom we are talking about that is revealed in the Scripture. But the next letter of His name is E, and it stands for Emmanuel. In Matthew 1, verse 23, the portion we read together, it is the inspired declaration of Isaiah's prophecy. We read also from chapter 7 of Isaiah, where the Lord gave a sign. And the sign was that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name would be called Emmanuel. And so we come to the New Testament now, to Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew gives to us the fulfillment of that prophecy. Under the inspiration of God, we have the declaration that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, is indeed the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, Mary, the virgin who would conceive. This is more astounding because Christ was born in such a unique way, no other person was ever born or conceived in a manner in which Christ was. It was not by natural procreation, for he was born of a virgin. And yet even more astounding than that, his miraculous conception and birth would be the name that was given unto him. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Not only is Jesus the Lord from heaven, but he is Jehovah with us. He is one of us. He is with us. And my friend, that is the good news of the gospel. That is good news for us today. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When we talk about this and when we focus on this, we're thinking of the miracle of the incarnation of Christ. The incarnation, that word simply means when God left heaven and came down to dwell upon earth and to become a man. The miracle of the incarnation of Christ is that he who was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, my friend, can you enter into this today? God with us. God humbling himself to such a degree. Here we have something that we cannot express with human words of the condescension of Christ from heaven to earth. The Creator took the form of the created. And God is with us. But the wonder of this miracle does not stop here. For Jehovah did not take such a step to become human flesh and then go back to the state he was before. This is something that we have so much difficulty in understanding. But it is the truth of the Scripture that Jesus Christ now is both God and man together. Two natures in one person. And this is the great miracle. In fact, the Westminster Divines describe it as this: the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was, and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Roderick Lawson makes this comment regarding that. He said, Jesus Christ, we must remember, therefore, is not something between God and man, but both God and man. Christ is God with us. He is in association with us. He is God with us who understands the frailty and the limitations of our humanity. He is our great high priest, which Hebrews tells us cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here, my friend, is the marvel and the uniqueness of the incarnation. It is that Jesus Christ took upon himself humanity. He took upon himself the frailty of human flesh, and he associated himself with us. He understood, therefore, our weaknesses. He understands our frailty. And what blessedness and what encouragement there is in that for us today. Emmanuel is God with us, one who understands. And oh, my friend, I tell you today, no one understands like Jesus. No one can enter into the depths of your sorrow but the Lord. You might share it with a friend. You might share it with a companion. But don't forget to share it with the Lord, for He understands. He understands the depth and the complexity of our situation and our problem more than anyone else can understand. He is God with us. S stands for Savior. This comes right in the center of His name. And I suggest to you that because it is in the middle of His name, we could draw an application that it is the central purpose of Jesus Christ in coming to this world to become our Savior. Ye shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Here is the story of redemption. It is the focus of Christ's mission. The culmination of the very first prophecy that was given in the book of Genesis about bruising of the head of the serpent. Here we find in that prophecy was the whole purpose of salvation. And in the bruising of the head of the serpent, His own heel would be bruised, which was a picture of the cross. And Christ was going to come to earth to become the Savior. And in so doing, He was going to the cross. That was His mission, His purpose. He did not come for any other reason but to be your Savior. My friend, do you understand that today? Do you know and do you comprehend the depth of what it means that He came to be your Savior? He came to give to you a covering that you did not have yourself. For the covering that Adam and Eve tried to make of sewing leaves together, it did not serve the purpose. But God provided for them coats of skins. God provided for them a substitute. The innocent animal was given for the guilty sinner. And so Christ comes to us in the story of redemption as the great substitute, the one who stands in my place. For I should have borne the wrath of God for my sin, but Christ stepped in to be my substitute. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He is my sin bearer. Oh, He is the great scapegoat of Leviticus chapter 17. He is the one to whom the hands were laid upon. And He was taken out by a fit man. He is the scapegoat. He is the one to bear away my sin. For just as that goat was led out into the wilderness to wander, the picture was given that the sins were taken away from the people of Israel. So Christ becomes our sin bearer to take our sin away. And the psalm tells us in 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He is our sin bearer. He is our Savior. Tell me today, is Christ your Savior? Have you made Him the Lord of your life? The next letter in His name is U, and it stands for Unifier. The Apostle Paul highlights this part of the work of the Lord when he declared in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." What a declaration. There is no other way. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." And the Apostle Paul said, there is only one God, and there is one go-between. There is one unifier, one mediator. And Christ in His work, He takes the hand of God and the hand of men and He unites them together because we were separated because of our sin. And the mission of Christ is come to seek and to save that which was lost, to save us from our sin. If we were left to ourselves, there is only one end for us. That is everlasting separation from God in a lost eternity, to suffer in the pains of a lost hell forever and forever. Friend, if you do not have Christ in your heart today, that is going to be the conclusion of your life. But Christ came to be a unifier, to join men with God. He is the Son of God. He is the mediator. He is the one who represents both sides, for that is the work of a mediator. He speaks on our behalf in the presence of God. And then He comes to us and He speaks to us the words of God. You are justified. You are cleared of all charges. You are free. So there is no more guilt. There is no more condemnation. For those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation. We are free. He is the great unifier. And the final letter of His word is the letter S. And it stands for shepherd. This aspect of the Lord's character and work speaks of the leadership to His people. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And when the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, they follow him. Because they know his voice. It's identifiable to them. And my friend, if you're a believer here today, you recognize the voice of your Savior. You know Him. You can hear His voice in your spirit. And you know by the leading of His Word. And you know by the direction that the Holy Spirit gives you from the promises of God. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And it's so important for us in our life to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And to look unto Jesus, who is the author. He is the beginner. He is the finisher and the completion of our salvation. Is your eye by faith upon Christ this very day? Are you looking to Him as the shepherd of your life? Have you declared without any ambivalence that He is the one shepherd that you want to follow in your life? If Christ is not your shepherd today, then you're following another leader. You are following indeed the God of this world. You are following the one who is at this point in time controlling your life. Oh, but my friend, the love and the mercy of Christ is open to you today. And the love of God which has sent His Son and gives that expression to us over and over again. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we come by simple faith to trust the Lord, we make Him the shepherd of our life. And we find that He is our guide. He is the one to provide for us the food that we need. He provides for us all the necessities of life. He provides for us the food of His own precious Word. Oh, my friend today, do you understand and know the Good Shepherd as the one who is leading your life? I pray today that the Lord would write His truth upon your heart, and that you would come to understand the true meaning of this name Jesus, and of the power that there is found in this name. For He is Jehovah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Savior. He is Unifier. He is our Shepherd. May God bless His Word to your heart today. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God would be written on every heart. Bring, I pray, those who are at this very moment questioning, perhaps doubting, wondering, is all this true in reality? By Thy Spirit's power, Lord, speak to their heart. And I pray also for the comfort upon the people of God, that we would rejoice again and realize the great fullness of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. O God, strengthen our hearts today. Bind up, we pray, the brokenhearted. Lord, come strangely near to those who are in great need this day. We remember those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We remember those who have situations and circumstances that are hard for us to enter into. And yet, Lord, we know that the Savior knows all about us. O God, help us, we pray today, to just simply rest and to trust in Him with all our heart, leaning not unto our own understanding. Hear our prayer this morning and bless us for Jesus' sake.